From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Frances Alonso reporting. The U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation and police in New York are still searching Monday for suspects and possible links between a bomb that exploded Saturday night in Manhattan and another found nearby. 29 people were wounded in the Manhattan blast. This is New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
At this time, there is no evidence of an international terrorism connection with this incident. It is very, very early in the investigation, and it's just starting.
Meanwhile, FBI technicians are examining evidence from both bombs at a lab near Washington. Meanwhile, in the U.S. city of St. Cloud, Minnesota, a man stabbed 9 people at a shopping mall Saturday night. He's been identified as 22-year-old Somali-American Tahir Adan. He was shot and killed by an off-duty policeman. Rick Thornton is with the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
We do not at this point in time know whether the subject it was in contact with, had connections with, was inspired by a foreign terrorist organization. That's what the investigation is attempting to ascertain.
Meanwhile, the Islamic State has claimed responsibility. None of the victims suffered life-threatening injuries. A Palestinian stabbed 2 Israeli police officers outside Jerusalem's Old City Monday before being shot, according to authorities. It's a new surge in violence raising concerns ahead of upcoming Jewish holidays. It was a 6th such incident since Friday, coming after Palestinians wrapped up Eid al-Adha celebrations as Israel tightened security ahead of Jewish high holidays in October. This is VOA News. Russia's ruling United Russia Party has easily won Sunday's parliamentary election with 54% of the vote, and some analysts see this as a referendum on President Vladimir Putin's 2018 run for re-election. You can hear more details on all the Russian elections at voanews.com. The UN Emergency Relief Coordinator says he is pained and disappointed that convoys have not yet been allowed into the Syrian city of Aleppo. As many as 275,000 people there are in need of food and water and medical aid. Humanitarian deliveries to Aleppo were one prong of a ceasefire deal reached between the United States and Russia that was due to end late Sunday. VOA's Jeff Custer reports.
There was no official declaration of its fate by early Monday, but with deadly airstrikes on rebel positions in Aleppo Sunday and one by the U.S.-led coalition Saturday that killed dozens of Syrian soldiers, the pact appeared to be unraveling. U.N. Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs Stephen O'Brien reiterated the world body's demands that it be allowed unimpeded access to deliver supplies and evacuate those in need of critical medical attention. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry on Sunday blamed Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's government for blocking aid deliveries and said Russia must do more to put pressure on him. Jeff Custer, VOA News, Washington.
9 days after North Korea's latest nuclear test, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met with his Japanese and South Korean counterparts and called for tough new measures to further isolate Pyongyang. The test was North Korea's 5th and largest, along with a series of ballistic missile tests. The North has been criticized for destabilizing regional security. Secretary Kerry expressed a continued willingness to try to revive dialogue with Pyongyang if it freezes its atomic weapons and ballistic weapons development programs.
We have said many times that we are prepared to sit down with the DPRK to deal with the issues of non-aggression, of peace on the Korean Peninsula, of joining the international community, of attracting assistance and economic development, providing North Korea is prepared to talk with the rest of the world about responsible approaches to the question of nuclear weaponry and the nuclear program.
The 3 diplomats said they discussed ways to implement UN Security Council Resolution 2270, which imposed tighter sanctions on North Korea. Doctors attending former Israeli President and Prime Minister Shimon Peres say they plan to reduce sedation and respiratory support. The 93-year-old Nobel laureate is said to be showing improvement since last week's stroke, but remains listed in critical condition. More at voanews.com. I'm Frances Alonso in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.